Hey, you guys, welcome to the Horse Trader's Diary. I'm Tara Sanders, and welcome to my podcast. So, as most of you guys know, this month has been like a super tough month. Last month, Glow got hurt, which is she was probably one of the nicer finished older barrel horses that I've ever bought myself, and she has spurs on her C6 and C7, so we plan to flush her this coming spring. I may breed her to carry, but that will just depend on how this winter goes legging her back up. Well, I pulled the shoes off of her and three other mares, and went to turn them out for the winter, and my really, really phenomenal young mare, So She's a Famous Gal, ended up lame, and we took her to the vet, and they thought that she had been bit by a spider. And I talked about this online. It's super crazy ordeal. It ended up not being a spider bite. It ended up being infection just coming out a hole in the coronary band that burst because she actually had a joint infection in her foot. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. If you guys saw the video on my Facebook, you know that we did an MRI and found that the mare had been nerved at some point. And when that foot was nerved, she's just been using it. When I pulled the shoes, basically the navicular bone broke and it punctured the navicular bursa, which caused an infection. And that infection had come to a head on the side of her pastern and burst, which is why randomly when it came up and burst like that, they thought maybe it was a spider bite. So anyway, MRI showed a much different story than what the local vets found, but the local vets weren't looking deep in the hoof capsule because the infection had burst up kind of on the coronary band up more towards the pastern, like kind of like if a horse had low outside ring bone, but just a little below that. So anyway, it just was wild. Dr. B did a surgery. They did a resectioning of the hoof. They put a special cast on, a special shoe. They built a special shoe. Long story short, in the end, the deep digital flexor tendon ended up rupturing and she didn't make it. So I cried and cried and cried for days. And then I finally decided that, you know what, I can do this and be okay. And for being a horse trader, it, you know, you would think that I would be less attached to them, but you know, some of these horses that I buy for myself, I do get attached to. So it's been a really long month. And if you guys wondered why I haven't been podcasting, it's because we discovered the spider bite, quote unquote, in October. And so we spent the end of October and all of November fighting this. And she was just put to sleep at the end of November. So that's where I've been. And it's really hard to podcast when something like that's going on because, you know, I didn't know the mare had been nerved. It didn't show up in a vet exam that I had done. And, of course, somebody that's owned her in the past did know they did it. The problem is you just never know. You never, I'm not, we all have our suspicions, right? Like, you want to blame, like, I don't think the person that owned her directly before me had time to do it and for it to heal and not be present. But I don't think so, but, you know, the mare had had two or three owners before her. Just the person that started her as a two-year-old, the person that futurity'd her, and then the broker that owned her. So you just never know. But I was hoping maybe I could save her so that I could breed her to Chisholm, which I want to thank you guys. That horse is super cool, and when we decided to maybe stand into the public, I decided to own a stallion. Well, I mean, be like a stallion owner because I wanted to see if I could do it. Like people said the other day, they were like, man, what made you want to take on another, like something else, you know, like you buy and sell horses and you guys trade horses. What made you want to venture outside and do this? And I said, I've never been a stallion owner before. Like this is something I've never done. And I see people on Facebook do it all the time. And I see them like campaigning their horses and promoting their horses and getting people to breed to them. And honestly, for me, it was one of those things to where, like, it's not even that. I wanted to see if I could do it. Like, I'm somebody that likes to challenge myself to new things, and I wanted to see, like, is this something I can do? Can I promote a stallion and get people to breed to him. So one of my very, very, very closest friends, Leanne, has rode that horse and trained him and loved him and picked him out as a foal in utero, basically, and she's owned him his whole life. He arrived to her when he was a weanling from California. And he's phenomenal. He's a own son of Dash to Fame out of a Firewater flip mare. And like I told her, I just want to support her in her endeavor because she's one of the few people in this world that I trust. Like, I can turn every dollar to my name over to her and know that it will all be accounted for. You know, it's just crazy to me. Like, there's not very many people in this world that are as trustworthy as she is. So when we discussed it, I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I can do this. So anyway, long story short, I decided that what would probably be best is for me to do all the advertising, for me to get online. And it has gone amazing. I think that we have 75 returned contracts on him. He's considered booked full. I have 4 or 5 contracts that the booking isn't paid on. And I have a waiting list that in case those people don't pay their booking, I have a waiting list of over 30 people wanting those contracts. And that is so humbling. Like, I don't exactly have like the greatest reputation in the world. I think that people that love me, and people that hate me. And it makes me just a controversial person because people will fight to the death over me. Like, people that love me will defend me and fight for me and stand up for me. And people who hate me cannot wait to drag me. Yeah. Yeah. So. So. Anyway, I just am telling you guys, like, I wondered, like, is this something I could do? So it was a challenge. Like, when people asked me what made me want to do the stallion thing, it was just a challenge. And I just wanted to see. And man, you know, things like this are humbling to me, though, because as I started to promote this horse, I started to realize that there are so many people out there that run barrels or even have cow horses and just wanted a little bit of race genetic that really love his lines, being an own son of Dash to Fame out of a Firewater flip mare. And he's Palomino and he's got impeccable conformation. It made people want to breed to him. And there's a lot of people, there's like 6 or 7 people that have bred cow mares to him because they're trying to make rope horses. And then there's 2 women that bred to him that do ranch versatility because they wanted his type of conformation with a cow horse to have a ranch versatility horse. So people are breeding to this horse, not just for barrel racing, but also for ranch versatility, and for roping. And I think that that's a testament to just good conformation. But I've learned when you ride really high-end horses with high-end genetics, it changes the way you feel about your everyday average horse. I ride a lot of everyday average horses through the pens, and they're perfect for trail riders. They're not overly sensitive. They're not overly athletic, and they're perfect for all of my customers that just want to go trail ride. They're perfect for my customers that need a horse that their grandkids can ride around the backyard. But then when you ride one like this that is a little bit, little quick-footed, really, really sensitive in the sides, very, very, very light in the face. For me, performance horse-wise, it's very hard to go back to anything else because these, I guess, royally bred horses change something inside of you. They make you want to ride more royally bred horses. So I am very, very grateful. But I will say for everybody that booked, like, thank you. You are amazing because it just means that people believe in this as much as Leanne did, because this was something that she has lived, ate, drank, slept, believed in, gave her life savings to be able to own the genetics. I mean, this is actually her everything wrapped up in this Palomino horse, and she just loves him. And it's been so cool to be a part of it, to be able to connect somebody that doesn't have Facebook, who really doesn't want to deal with the public, and this really amazing horse to the public, and to watch the public just love this horse. And she said the other day on the phone, I feel like he's the people's horse. I feel like his path was different from what I ever intended it to be, because that's what needed to happen. She's not overly spiritual, so she doesn't say like God did this, but I mean, it's still destiny. It's still when something's on the correct path, when it's going in the right direction of its journey. It happens easy. And it was meant from the very beginning for this horse to be a stallion from the moment that he arrived. And he, well, if you booked, you know his story. So if you haven't booked, I'm sorry, maybe you'll get to hear his story in a different podcast with her and I. But he got left a stallion when he was originally supposed to be a gelding. And it's just been one of those things ever since then that this horse was just destined to stand at stud. And he was destined to be booked by people that can't afford to go do ICSI or embryo transfers and pay, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 up front just to get a dash to fame. You know, ICSI on Firewater Flit plus the stud fee is, I think the stud fee is $15,000, if I'm not mistaken, and then the ICSI is $10,000, so it's $25,000 for a Firewater Flit. And then a dash to fame is, I know they have Frozen, but I think the stud fee is $5,000. And, yeah, I mean, and then Frozen and then stud farms charge a little more for that. So you're $7,500 or $8,500 just in breeding, fee and stud farm obligation up front before, you know, you even get a baby. So it's expensive to own horses of this, these genetics. And I think it's great. I think it's really great that a horse like this has been brought forward to the public so they can afford to breed to him. Now, the NFR. We are doing a watch party in my group. Just, it started out because one of my really good friends can't or won't. She can. She's just cheap. Charlie. Whew. Y'all know. So she didn't pay for Sling or some crap. I don't know. And she wanted to watch the NFR. So I went live and her and I were doing like a watch party online. And then people started joining. And then more people started joining. Y'all, before I knew it, I had 4,000 people on there. And it was just like a private watch party between her and I, but it was a lot of fun. So what we're doing now, so the NFR is interesting. So we are doing a thing where right now you can send on Venmo 50 cents or a dollar, and we're going to do a pay it forward for Christmas, just so you guys know. So everybody that's been to the watch party, things like that, you're going to send a little something, and at the end of the NFR, we're going to go have dinner and leave all of that money as a tip for a waitress. So we're hoping that we can get a pretty good chunk of money together, and really, if it's a large amount, we might do two different restaurants and do two waitresses, but we would like to really be able to change somebody's Christmas. You know, and there's a lot of waitresses out there that are really, really struggling with COVID this year. So if you guys come to our NFR watch party and you come hang out, please make sure that you consider sending even 50 cents to the Venmo, because if everybody does a little bit, we can do a lot for somebody else. So anyway, this podcast is going to be short. I just wanted to let you guys know where I've been, what I've been doing, and we will be doing NFR watch party night 2 tonight, and that's about it. That's about it for right now. But I'll be back this week. I think I'm going to start podcasting more. I say that, and then things like last month happened with Rachel, and it just sucks, you know? It just makes for a long 6 weeks of your life where you're spending lots and lots of money, you still can't save something you love, and honestly, it's somebody else's fault, basically. So, all right, you guys, well, I hope to see you during the watch party. Please consider the Pay It Forward Challenge. The Venmo is Tara Michelle Sanders, and like I said, at the end of the NFR, we will go have dinner and leave a waitress a huge tip that everybody has contributed to, and that will really help somebody's Christmas. So, all right, you guys, I love you, and I will talk to you in a night or two. Bye.